Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, is Marriott experimenting with a new system that will ultimately lead to housekeeping being an extra charge at its hotels? And we have details about a young man who cleaned a piano at O'Hare Airport that might be one of the coolest travel stories ever.
What is an Apple AirTag? In our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:22, we give you the reasons why you should consider putting AirTags in all of the items that you carry with you when you travel.
There are a lot of internet scams involving travel. At 11:35, we share a couple of the current attempts to get your money and offer some ideas on how to avoid being a victim of travel fraud.
Author Annie Fitzsimmons has written a spectacular book for National Geographic highlighting the 100 top hotels in the world. And she joins us at 11:50 to talk about some of these grand monuments to hospitality.
Our show is all about making you smarter when you travel. How awesome is that? Thanks for joining us on The Travel Guys.
Live and direct from, I don't even know where, from wherever we are. By Sports Leisure Vacations. Good to see you, Mark. When we spoke last, you were just about to head out to Key West.
You betcha.
For one of your Sports Leisure Vacation outings. And, of course, the first thing that comes to mind was, how cold was it? We were watching Florida getting snow and freezing their buns off. What was it like?
It didn't snow in Key West. It has never snowed there. The record cold temperature in Key West is 41, but it did get down. We were in the mid-60s for highs, and with the wind normally in Key West doesn't impact the temperature much. It just keeps the humidity away, but in this case, it was driving the temperatures down into the upper 40s and low 50s, and I have to tell you, the local people there, they go like into hibernation when the temperature gets below 60. They curl up in a corner and don't come out. So it was an interesting time to be in Key West, but we still had a lot of fun. I've been going down there with tour groups for a number of years now, once a year, and the advantage of going and going and going is that you get to know the people there. We have this trolley driver that takes us around on a tour of Key West who absolutely, if he were on stage as a comedian, he could pack the house. He has a knack for driving around town and doing off-the-cuff things that not only tell you about where you're at, but absolutely leave you rolling in the aisles. There's a drag show that we go to there. You got to let your guard down just a little bit. You know, when you're in Key West, it's a little different kind of place. It's really a fun place. There is lots to learn there. Of course, it's the kind of the home of Key Lime Pie, and I had a wonderful group of folks to travel with, and despite the fact that the weather didn't really, I mean, it crapped out on us. There's no other way to say it. But they had a good time anyway. We go down to Miami and do a city tour, and then we go out and visit the alligators in the Everglades and spend a night in Key Largo and make our way down the intercoastal waterway there to Key West and spend a few nights. And if you don't have Key West on your bucket list, you should. Because it's an end-of-the-road destination, which are always special places. And it's really one of... I'm not a huge fan of traveling to Florida, but I'll let you in on something. Key West is not part of Florida. It's its own little world down there, the Conch Republic. And so go. Go to Key West sometime. Before you leave this planet, you should spend some time in Key West.
That was great. It makes me want to go, for sure. I'm putting it on my bucket list. I don't know whether it's for the alligators or the key lime pie, but maybe a combination of both. We'll talk about the clam chowder a little bit later on. All right, we are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news.
Hello. Here comes an announcement. The Park Service has yanked some job offers after a hiring freeze. Means that a bunch of hundreds of seasonal positions in the national parks probably will go unfilled this summer. These are people who handle the larger crowds in the summer and do interpretive programs and things like that. So you got to be careful when you start cutting government, because we have a lot of people traveling to national parks, especially in season. And if they get there and a lot of the things that they normally would plan on doing, the programs and stuff that are offered by the parks, are not being offered, then you're not only going to have some unhappy travelers, but they're going to have to all flock to fewer destinations within those parks. So this on the surface doesn't seem like a big deal, but it sort of is, because the national parks are not particularly overstaffed anyway. And they're generally staffed by people who have a great passion for where they are. And the people who go there to visit and interact with them share those passions. So, anyways, it would be unfortunate if we lost a lot of national park employees when we were trying to save a dollar or a nickel here and there. Marriott Hotels has come up with a program. They are testing it at a couple of properties in Vancouver, British Columbia. And this might, even to some people, this might sound wonderful. What they're doing is they're offering a rate and saying, if you don't want housekeeping, we'll give you a lower rate. So a couple of things to think about there. There are lots of people. I am one of them on occasion. I don't necessarily need the housekeeper in my room every single day. So, you know, why have them in there wasting their time and effort when they don't need to? Many hotels now do what they call a refresh, which is make the bed, take out the garbage, pick up the towels, which for me is fine. I mean, that's
that would be fine with me. Yeah, that's perfect. Especially if I could get a save a couple of bucks.
Well, so if you don't let the house want the housekeeper in at all, Marriott is saying we'll give you some reduced rates. And there are some examples here. This comes from Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time, this particular article. And he gives some examples where it's basically about a $20 to $22 discount off of the rack rate if you don't take housekeeping. That those are in Canadian dollars. So, and on the surface, you might say, well, gee, okay, great. I'd like to save a little bit of money. But here's what's coming. Here's what's coming. This will flip on us. If this works for Marriott, this will flip particularly on the lower tier of their brands. And here's what will happen is that you will check in, and the rate that you pay will be a non-housekeeping rate. And if you want housekeeping, you'll pay extra for it. Again, there are people who say, hey, I don't want housekeeping. Doesn't matter to me. But what I'm trying to point out here is the hotels are doing a bait and switch on you here. You used to pay $200 and it included housekeeping. Now you're going to end, this is just a guess, but I think this is where this is headed. You'll pay $200 and it won't include housekeeping. And if you want housekeeping, for those of you who do, then you will pay more money for that. And I just think that it's kind of a, I think it's kind of a tacky way, and to introduce this. And I'm certain this is where Marriott is going with this. If enough people opt out of housekeeping, then what Marriott's going to do is they're going to start creating non-housekeeping rates, and you'll pay more if you want to check in and get housekeeping. We'll keep an eye on that. TSA intercepted 6,678 firearms in 2024. You know what the good news is? That's actually a mild decrease for the first time in 5 years. I don't get it. Of the 6,600 firearms that were stopped at airport checkpoints, 94% of those weapons were loaded.
I was afraid I was going to hear that.
An average of 18.2 firearms were intercepted per day. 904 million passengers screened. 7.4 firearms were stopped per million passengers. So that doesn't seem like a whole lot unless you happen to be on the plane where they didn't catch the person who has the loaded gun and they're not having a good day. Then that might be a concern. I don't get how you could go to the airport with a gun in your, I mean, loaded or unloaded.
We talked about this, and,
yes,
and the number one reason that it happens is that you don't start packing for your trip with an empty bag. Okay,
yeah.
Always start with an empty bag. Take check your bag before you get ready to start packing, because it'll be there from a previous trip. That seems to be the number one excuse that people have. I didn't know it was there. And the reason was is that you didn't start with an empty bag.
If you're listening to the program and you are saying, well, listen, I've got a perfect reason that you would have a gun in your bag, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and just send me a little note. I would be thrilled if somebody could show me or just tell me, Tom, you make a good point about the empty bag thing, but I just, why would you have a gun in your suitcase anyway and loaded? I mean, and not in a safety, you know, carrier. I mean, there are ways to carry guns. All right. Anyways, let's move on. Airbnb. Look out here, guys, and VRBO. Big hotels are coming after small group travel. You know how you can get an Airbnb or a VRBO for, you know, 8 or 10 people, maybe a wedding party, something like that. Well, Marriott has launched Homes and Villas by Marriott International, a collection of 140,000 vacation rentals worldwide. Hilton Honors is doing the same. Hyatt is in the process of developing a World of Hyatt program. Hyatt Vacation Club units will be bookable with cash or World of Hyatt points. So an advantage to this is that you've got a big pile of Marriott points or something. You might not have to pay for your vacation rental. Also pointed out in this article, the rules that hotels instill on their vacation rentals are very different than the ones on private rentals that you get, for example, at Airbnb. The cleaning charges, the cleaning rules, those things are very different. So for those people who are running into hassles with Airbnb or other vacation rentals that they would rather not have to deal with, deposits and all of these other things, why not do business with a company that already knows who you are? And you've already have an established business record with them, and maybe you've got some points that will reduce your costs. Anyway, kind of interesting how that's going to shake out for the VRBO and Airbnb people. It's time for profit sharing from 2024 for airline pilots and flight attendants. I didn't know, but there's a huge discrepancy. Airlines were reporting their results last week. Delta flight attendants get 10% out of a particular pool of profits. United flight attendants get about half that. American flight attendants get 1.1%. This is all comes, it's formulas according to their contracts and stuff like that. But the bottom line is that Delta people are getting the most. United people are in the middle. American people are on the bottom. The two people who are not on the top, two groups, are not very happy about it. Imagine that. United made record profits, and their employees didn't. So I would say probably that's an issue that you'll want to discuss with your union representatives and make sure that your contract next time around has a better deal there. Breeze Airways has reported its first quarterly operating profit since it launched in 2021. Breeze Airways does not fly to Sacramento. Why does this have anything to do with folks who travel from Sacramento? Anytime a startup small carrier makes it and can turn a profit, this is a good thing for consumers. Breeze flies oftentimes between secondary cities at very reasonable prices. Sacramento is a big airport now, but there are lots of secondary cities that we would love to have nonstop service to. So perhaps there's a possibility someday of this carrier making its way to us. The fact that it's making money keeps competition alive and is a good thing for consumers. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. And at the beginning of the program, we were talking about your trip to Key West. I have to ask, we always talk about Rudy's at this point in the program. And I know, Mark, you particularly like to talk about Rudy's clam chowder.
Oh, I know you're going to ask.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, what other places besides, I don't know, Boston or certainly Key West, where there's lots and lots of fish places to eat. Any clam chowder down there?
No, they have a thing called conch chowder down there, and that's a whole discussion for a different day. But the clam chowder I had in Key West, are you kidding me? Couldn't even lay a hand. Rudy's has got the best clam chowder on the planet.
Well, if you want to take advantage of a couple of specials that would probably include the clam chowder, Monday's special at Rudy's Hideaway is the clam chowder or the salad, the baked potato, vegetables, warm sourdough bread, and your choice of several different entrees, including a 6-ounce lobster tail. I broke down and last Monday, and I had the clam chowder and the salad, and I skipped the baked potato. And then went with the lobster and the rest of the meal. So I got my salad and my clam chowder simply for giving up, at that point in time, kind of a wasted potato. I didn't need it that particular day. Anyway, they also have, that's $65 for that meal. But if you'd like the 1-pound Maine lobster, you can get that on Thursdays for only $28.95, and that's a steal. Rudy's Hideaway, our favorites, maybe yours too if you give them a try. They're over there off of Highway 50 and Hazel. into these AirTags. Are there other companies besides Apple that makes a decent AirTag, or is it all Apple AirTags?
Tile trackers would be your other choice, your other major choice. These things are about, you can buy a single one for about $30, $25, $30. You can buy a four-pack on Amazon. I think it was $79. I put a link to the Amazon purchase at travelguysradio.com. So if you're interested, we don't get any kind of commission or anything, but I just thought that was the best price online if you were looking for AirTags. If you don't know what an AirTag is, it's a device that you put, a very small device that you put in a bag, and it will basically stay, it will let you know where the bag is at any point in time. So the benefit of this is that if for some reason you lose your bag, gets lost, your bag doesn't make it, and so the airline says, gosh, we don't know where it is, we'll get it to you as quickly as we can, and you say, ha ha ha, I know exactly where it is, it's in the Chicago airport, and I can show you here on my phone where the bag is. If you think this doesn't work, I will tell you that I've told this story many times on the air, but 8 or 9 years ago I lost an iPad, left it on a plane in Chicago, an employee took it home with them, and we were able to track it because it had one of these AirTags on it, and it returned to me the next day. I don't know what happened to the employee, but I got my my iPad back. So this would work. You want to put one of these like in your backpack. You know, you go in the bathroom, you hang your backpack up on the stall door or something like that. You leave it there. You're at a restaurant, you're sitting down, you leave your carry-on bag, and you walk away, and you're like, oh my God, where is it? Well, immediately you'll know right where it is. So this is really something that it probably is the single best thing I can think of for a traveler at a low cost, being able to know, to find your stuff. You know, I mean, and this is pretty important. Your stuff might have, you know, your meds or, you know, your house keys or who knows what else is in that carry-on bag. You know, hopefully you haven't put those things in your check bag, but still, when you get to the other end, I don't know about you, but on a 7-day trip, people traveling with me would love to see me put on clean underwear every once in a while. So it's always good if
they don't want to see that.
No, they don't want to see it, but they don't want to smell it either. So the AirTags are arguably the single best thing that a traveler can do for an inexpensive amount of money to take care of themselves. I use them. I haven't put one in my backpack yet. But after I wrote this story, I realized that, and so I'm going to fix that next week.
Now, you use your smartphone to track your AirTags.
Yes.
One of the items that people leave behind on planes and restaurants falls out of their pocket and so forth is their smartphone. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what to tell you in regards to tracking that. Because that's how you it's sort of it's its own air tag. But if you have a friend that you can hook up with that may be traveling with you, you can share where your smart devices are, and your friend can say, "Hey, I see your phone. It appears to be going down the road, probably in that ride share that we just got out of."
There you go.
And so that would be the recommendation. And then the other one I have in regards to phones that don't have anything to do with AirTags, there are these devices. They're a cord. Sometimes they're bungee, sometimes they're a straight cord, and they got a little hook on the end of them, and it comes with a little thing that you can put inside your phone case and hangs out the back where you charge your phone, and you can hook the little hook on it, and then you can attach it to your belt, and your phone is now attached to you. And it's big enough to reach up and talk on it and still be connected. But wherever you go, you take your phone out, you start to get up. If you haven't put it in your pocket, it'll be dragging behind you.
Pretty easy to leave a phone or a bag or something like that on an airplane. And it's amazing how uncooperative the airlines are about letting you back onto an airplane.
Oh, forget
after
it.
After you have gotten off of the airplane. So anyway, AirTags, I think, is something that even if you're just a casual traveler, you only travel occasionally, wouldn't hurt to have them. They're not difficult to use. Anybody who knows a little bit about technology can help you. Listen, Tom, news segment, I left out a story. Literally, it fell on the floor about a kid who cleaned a piano in O'Hare Airport. We'll follow up with that after the news break when we come back.
All right, yeah. Sorry, I was supposed to give you an opportunity to do that there, but I got carried away because I don't go anywhere without my little cord that's attached to my phone.
Yes.
Because I have lost them.
Your wife, right, Sarah, Stephanie says that she has one of those little cords, too, that she attaches to you when you travel so she doesn't lose you in the airport.
All right, we're going to talk internet scams involving travel. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Hey, an update with the Sports Leisure Minute here. Still have a couple of seats available if you are a baseball fan and would like to go to spring training with us. In early March, there's a trip to see the Giants and the Sacramento Athletics play in Arizona, get ready for the coming season. Brand new Sports Leisure newsletter hit the streets this last week. Will be in your mailboxes next week. If you are not a member of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, you can go to sportsleisure.com and sign up for a complimentary year. We take all kinds of day trips to San Francisco and the like to see Broadway-style shows and all kinds of entertainment. sportsleisure.com.
Well, there you go. I don't know why. I mean, we've been doing this for a few weeks. Why I can't remember that it's time for the Sports Leisure Minute and to play this fabulous Sports Leisure jingle music. But anyway, that's live radio for you. You know, Giants and A's, that's going to be a hot ticket. 4th of July is the Giants and A's big game, or at least one of them, that will be played here in Sacramento. I would imagine that's going to be a real high-priced ticket item. But that's the one I'd like to go to.
I'm going to take the whole wait and see attitude about baseball and what Major League Baseball in West Sacramento. I want to see what the parking is going to cost and the full house, probably, I hope, every night. How is that going to impact the Giants' attendance? Sacramento has always been a Giants town, like 10-1 over A's fans. Doesn't mean there aren't a lot of A's fans in town. Their minor league, their AAA team was here for many years. It's going to be very interesting. As a baseball fan, it'll just be interesting to see how Sacramento fans react. The tickets to the A's game, that A's and Giants game on July 4th, bring your wallet, your gold coins, your savings account, everything else, because their tickets are going to be in very short supply and very high demand. And in business, there's this thing called supply and demand that tends to impact prices. Okay, listen, we got a couple places to go here. There was a story that we teased in the headlines that fell out of the travel news, and I really want to share it with you. The headline says, an airport piano was filthy and out of tune. He fixed it during a layover. This is a story about a young man. He was 18 years old and on his way to Florida 3 years ago when he spotted a baby grand piano at Chicago O'Hare International Airport. It's near gate C-17. If you fly United, that's a United concourse, you may have seen this piano before. Anybody could play it, and anybody could have an opportunity to sit down if they liked. And Jackson, who was 18 at the time, sat down at the piano during his layover and tried to play it, but the keys were sticky, and it just sounded awful. He said to himself, one day I'm going to come back to the airport and tune this piano for free, because that's, as a young man, that was his course in life. He's becoming a piano tuner. So after 3 years, he got his chance. He was going somewhere, coming back through Chicago, lives in Grand Rapids. So he planned for an extra long layover. Contacted the airport, sent his stuff in ahead of time, his equipment, because, you know, you can't get through security with any kind of sharp objects or things like that. So some of the stuff he sent. I want to tell you, as I tell this story, there's a video of him cleaning the piano. A link to it is at travelguysradio.com. It's right up at the top of the list. And it's fascinating to watch him clean this piano. It was all gunked up. He spent 7 hours cleaning it up on the floor, and he did a video of it, cleaning the piano, taking it all apart. It was super dirty. He had to do a lot of things to make it all happen. But anyway, he got it cleaned, and turned out the piano sits right next to a bar, and it's pretty likely that some people were wandering over there with drinks, and that's how everything got all messed up. So they've put a sign there now asking people not to bring drinks near the piano, but the piano is now playable again at C-17, and if you have an interest in this story, which I I confess I went down a rabbit hole on it the other day. There's a video of the young man cleaning the piano, and it's narrated, travelguysradio.com. You will enjoy listening to that for sure. And plus, now that, you know, and O'Hare has some other landmarks too. Butch O'Hare's plane, the man for whom the airport is named, is also there in the airport. You can't play on it, but you can walk by it and see it. But now you can play the grand piano. If you fly United, you have a few extra minutes, make sure you stop. And speaking of a few extra minutes in an airport, next week, Clayton Whitehead is going to join us as a guest. Clayton is a huge lounge guy in airports. He loves to use his extra time in airports to hit the lounge and partake in the benefits there. Oftentimes, if he has an hour layover, and it, you know, the plane's going to board 30 minutes before it leaves, and it takes 15 minutes to get there, he'll find a way to get to the lounge. So we're going to talk to him. I see no point in airport lounges at all. So we're going to have a point-counterpoint discussion about airport lounges and the value of them next week. Listen, here is a thing that really should be of concern to you. This is all about, you know, there are a lot of hacks and efforts to get our money when it comes to travel. One of them is sending a thing saying, hey, you've got a free cruise 3 or 5 or 7 nights for two, and all you have to do is do ABC, and we'll give it to you. In some cases, it's a scam to get you to give them information. In some cases, it's trying to get you to a timeshare presentation. In other cases, it's trying to sell you a cruise that they say is, quote, free. But then when you go to buy it, you find that, oh, well, there's handling charges and taxes and fees and things that weren't disclosed to you. And this free cruise has suddenly cost you several hundred dollars per person that you hadn't been told about originally. So there are a lot of different scams here. A lot of these things that come over the Internet will come with the logos of the companies. Lady here from Chris Elliott's Confidential Consumer Alert talks about getting how the invitation looked so legitimate, had logos of Carnival and Norwegian and Royal Caribbean and Hilton on it, and it was all fake. I mean, those logos can all be copied from the Internet. So don't be deceived. When you get something, you know, really and truly, most of the time we say when you get something like this online or in the mail or call by phone, particularly if it's asking you for information, if it sounds too good to be true, just step back, take a deep breath, and say, you know, this really sounds too good to be true. The chances are really good that it is not true. So common sense really applies here, but they've gotten very good about these. I actually responded to one a couple weeks ago and made an initial response before I realized that I had been had. So be really super careful. Some of the things that you can do is that if you feel like that it's questionable at all, pick up the phone and call the brands that are advertised there and ask them if they are a part of such a presentation or such a promotion. In most cases, you'll probably find out that they're like, we don't have any idea what you're talking about. So a little extra caution. A lot of folks are oftentimes nailed here, and as I pointed out, there are lots of different ways for them to get to you. Some is to get your information. Some is to get your money. Some is to get you to attend a bogus timeshare presentation. Some is to sign you up for a bogus timeshare presentation. That is never going to happen. All you did was give them your information so that now they can go out and dig into your records and get your money. So be careful. And like I said, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And if there's any doubt in your mind, then just don't respond.
I read that article. Chris Elliott, by the way, consumer advocate. He has a weekly newsletter, and in it, it's always some good information and things that that you might want to read and stay away. Tell me again, Chris Elliott's connection website.
It's Elliott.org, 2 L's and 2 T's. I think you can find a link to it also on our website. But Chris is just a bundle of information, and he sends out stuff every week that will make you a smarter traveler. If you travel a lot, belonging there and paying for his information, or he has a newsletter that's free. So there are different levels there, but I don't want to turn it into a Chris Elliott commercial, but obviously he's a regular guest on the program, and Chris provides really good information to people in a really unbiased fashion.
off to 100 top hotels in the world. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Annie.
Thank you for having me.
Annie, it's so nice to have you join us here. As I peruse this book, and I will tell our listeners that there is a link to where you can find the book at travelguysradio.com if this is all of some interest to you. But these are hotels not just in the United States, but all over the world. Annie, how did you become the hotel expert?
I grew up one of five kids, and we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and I would stay in bathtubs, but it became an obsession. I mean, I remember seeing the movie Only You, where they go throughout Italy and stay at fabulous hotels. When I was 12, it came out. And I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is known for being a beautiful resort town. Started working for National Geographic. I skipped a lot in between there, but worked as their urban insider and started traveling the world. So I basically have been covering hotels as a travel journalist for almost 20 years. And then in the middle of COVID, pitched this book.
Wow.
There you
wow.
go. Travel journalist, Mark. Yeah. They should have thought of that one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Annie, this is, and we should tell people who are listening to us that the hotels that Annie has picked here, we're not talking about the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. We're talking, she has picked, dare I say, off the beaten track in some cases, properties, but places that have a really special, a special slant to them. They specialize in something or where their location is, or you must have some favorites in this over 100 hotels of a lifetime. Share a couple of them with us.
Yeah, I have so many. I mean, my usual answer is, like, my favorite hotel is the last one I visited. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. But there are some surprises in there. I mean, most of them are very, very, very expensive. But some of my very favorites are, like, there's one in Amsterdam that not a lot of people know called the Ambassade. And the owner is a book publisher. And the hotel has 5,000 signed books from authors who have stayed there in the library bar. Or the Hotel Kukowski in Sicily, which is like 200 euros a night. And you can always go stay at the Four Seasons in Taormina, where White Lotus is filmed. But that's an easy recommendation, you know. So I did try to find and highlight hotels that are really special but don't get a lot of press.
Annie, tell us a little bit about how do you go about picking a hotel that you're going to review. Obviously, you've stated all of these places that you've written about. So what's the process?
So I also interviewed more than 100 people for the book. So travel agents, travel advisors, travel experts, tour operators, like you were saying, to try to get their take on things too. So it wasn't just my opinion, although I did have the final say with my editor. But I think there were three main things. One is that the hotel had to take you out of your life, like sort of be this magic portal into a world that felt really extraordinary, not ordinary, you know, dishwasher laundry life. It had to feel of the place and of the destination, like could only be there, because as you know, there's so many cookie cutter hotels. And then ideally, it had to let outsiders in to experience things, even if they couldn't afford to stay there. So that's not true for every hotel, but most of them, it is true.
Annie, what's the most, this may not be an unfair question. Any idea what the most expensive and or the least expensive hotels are in your book?
A great question. I think the most expensive ones are probably the safari properties, like the Singida, the Royal Portfolio, Weeba Lodges of the world. A lot of that money does go back into conservation. And the ones in Tanzania, for example, Tanzania wasn't a place that you would ever go 20 years ago, but because of luxury hotels, you now do, and it's completely changed the country. So those are really expensive. And then the ones in Italy, like the Amalfi Coast, are insane. And then the least expensive, the one I mentioned in Sicily, there's a guest house in Iceland as well that's on a horse farm, a 3-star that's really special. I mean, I did consider putting in Deplar Farm, which is really ridiculous, but then this place is just so special to me. I would say those are the kind of on both ends of the spectrum.
Well, I appreciate that answer. That was very good, and you covered a lot, but there's one part of it that you didn't mention. Could you throw out a couple of dollar amounts for, like, the most expensive?
Oh.
And then just kind of a ballpark.
Numbers.
Numbers.
I think Yeah, actual number. Safari, between the most expensive one is probably $5,000 a night. And then the least is probably $200.
Okay. All right. Just
that's where the animals come up and eat you in the night, as opposed to you know, for just $2,800.
Like the value.
It's much more experiential, Tom, because
value add.
And when you see your roommate being dragged from the tent, why it's I mean, that's video that you're just not going to get anywhere else. I'm just telling you.
True. I did stay in one of those like super luxury tents, and I got totally freaked out at 3 o'clock in the morning. So there's this buffalo like rubbing up against the tent, and I was like, I feel like I'm going to get killed, but it's totally safe. But it's just, it's funny. It's a little bit scary sometimes.
I would, if I woke up in the morning and a buffalo was rubbing outside my tent or my window or anything, that would be of concern, especially since I sometimes am in high-rise hotels. Annie, you've just shared the buffalo story there. As you were traveling, obviously this is information that you've accumulated over a period of time. Any other story of anything when you were in one of these hotels or interacting with staff or something like that that comes to mind that you'd like to share?
I always remember the people, right? I mean, it seems so cliche, but especially in hotels, like where it's such an exhausting, you know, ridiculously time-consuming job, like to just sit and talk to people that have been there for 40 years, like Walter Bolzanella, who now retired, but he was the bartender at the Cipriani in Venice. And I just remember sitting there listening to him tell me stories, like George Clooney wrote the foreword to his book, or, you know, being on the rooftop of the Hotel Grand Britannia in Athens, looking at the Acropolis in the morning, waking up to see at the Oberoi and Amar Villas, every single room, all 102 of them, have a view of the Taj Mahal, which has, you know, been called the world's greatest monument to love. I feel like, I mean, I could go on and on, but, you know, the romance and history of the hotels in Egypt, there's so many moments. I feel so lucky. I mean, it's not like I take 1 minute of this for granted, and if I ever did, I would get out of the job.
Books have become a little bit out of fashion, perhaps, for part of the population, but this is one of the National Geographic books. Annie, I assume this is available in an online version also.
You know, I actually don't know that.
I don't either, but I will tell you that the in-person copy, which I'm sitting here looking at right now, would make a wonderful coffee table book. Or if you are a traveler, you talk about getting on the internet and going down a rabbit hole. You could go into this book and never be heard from again.
Yeah.
There are so many cool, the pictures are so awesome, the descriptions. If you are a traveler, or even let's say, for example, you know, your travel days are over with, but you love reading about travel and stuff like that, this is really a top notch. Of course, we've had other National Geographic authors on, and all of these books are just spectacular. If you have a traveler in your life, why, this would be a wonderful present, I'm guessing. Annie Fitzsimmons is the author. It's 100 Hotels of a Lifetime, The World's Ultimate Resorts. It is a spectacular book. What does it run? About $40? Is that? Yeah, $40 U.S. You can find a link at travelguysradio.com. And Annie, I just want to say what a delight it's been to talk to you today. And if you ever have anything that you think should be on the radio, why, think of the Travel Guys in Sacramento and give us a shout.
I love it. Thank you so much. And we're thinking of your home state, of course.
And we appreciate those comments. We taped this interview not that long ago. And, of course, with the fires down in L.A., that's what she was referring to. Annie Fitzsimmons, a spectacular book, 100 Hotels That You Don't Want to Miss Out On. I mean, it Mark mentioned, it's the kind of thing that you could put on your coffee table and you could spend a lot of time enjoying the pictures of these beautiful, beautiful places, even if you don't travel there a whole lot. Links to Annie's book and so much more can be found at travelguysradio.com. And while we're talking about travelguysradio.com, I want to mention there is a place where you can communicate with Travel Guys. Let's say you have a question, a travel question that you would like answered. You can go to our homepage, and right there, there is a spot where you can type in what your question might be. Mark will answer your question online to you, or we do a segment on the program called, Mailbag, Travel Guys Mailbag, and we'll bring those questions to the air and answer them here for you. It's always amazing that the questions that we get are questions that so many people, together have. So when we answer one question for somebody that drops it in, and oftentimes it's a question that lots of people want the answers to. It's also a place where you can go and find links to our special guests. And not only that, you can pick up podcasts of all of our shows going back several years. And by the way, podcasts are not just available at TravelGuysRadio.com. They're also available at KFBK, right there on the KFBK website. And if you're a traveler and you've got the iHeartRadio app on your smart device, you can listen to us any place that you go, right there on your smart device at iHeartRadio. So take us with you wherever you go. But anyway, once again, and thanks to the fine people at National Geographic for hooking us up with author Annie Fitzsimmons.